The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
9 o'clock hour. That's our last hour before Charlie Kirk replaces us at 10, and then Live and Local with Stefan's show at 3. The unofficial official historian Alexa has told us that Stefan will be back on Friday. Why I don't know this internally is crazy, but Alexa knows it. And in fact, at some point, I imagine she'll end up on the payroll for keeping track of these things. Now, listen, good weather today, better weather tomorrow, even greater weather on Saturday, and then we cool off again. 55, 65, 73 in that order. If you're going to do stuff outside, the next 3 days are the days to do it, and then it cools off a bit with some possible rain and snow Monday or Tuesday. Welcome to spring in the Rockies. We have had folks on whose political fate, at least for this campaign cycle, may be decided by this weekend's activities. Of course, that means there are some congressional candidates out there, and the only two real competitive congressional districts in the state of Colorado, we have eight now, are number 7 and number 8. You've heard this guy before. He is a veteran, a West Point guy. He's also a candidate for the 7th Congressional District, Eric Odlin. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, George. Good to be back with you.
Now, I mistakenly said at the very top of the show, and I have corrected since then, the assembly for the state is on Saturday, but the assemblies for the congressional districts are actually Friday. That includes the one you're going through. Is that true?
That's true. It's tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
Where do you do it? Where do you go do it?
It's in Colorado Springs. It'll be at the Hilton Doubletree. In Colorado Springs. So right before the day before the state assembly.
How many assembly goers can cast a vote for the nominee for 7th Congressional District, or at least the person from the assembly?
So in total, there are over 600 delegates. I think it's likely that about, you know, 3/4 to a half of that will show. So we're expecting 300 to 400 delegates.
Now, how many folks are on the ballot going through the assembly?
Right now, I'm only aware of one other campaign going through the assembly.
And okay. And so there's two of you. I like those odds. And I say that because historically, although not impossible, it is extremely difficult to keep a single other candidate below 30%, which is what you need to make the ballot. I know your goal is bigger than that. I'm just saying I think those are good odds for either of you. It's just very difficult to do that. Now, I know you and I had talked previously, earlier in the campaign cycle, about the desire to want to petition on, either to give you a lower threshold at the assembly, which is 10%, or to just simply make the ballot outright. What happened with that?
Well, we had made the initial strategic decision to petition on. We submitted, I was the second candidate in the state to submit those petitions to the Secretary of State back in March. She rejected just enough signatures, so I was 20 short to invalidate those petitions. I'm now taking her to court because we can prove that we had enough valid signatures to get on the ballot. So she denied me access, whether it was through incompetence or shenanigans, I can't say, but the fact is that we were denied access in that route, and we're taking her to court. But I'm fully focused on the assembly at this point, George. I'm confident in the delegates. They're smart. They know I'm the most winnable candidate in this race. I have the best credentials and a history of service to this country. So I'm very confident going into the assembly, and I hope to command it.
What's the issue or issues that you're focused on that will separate you from your other opponent seeking those same votes tomorrow? How are you going to convince folks that are listening to your speech tomorrow, hey, it should be me?
I think I demonstrate that I'm a person of integrity and character that is going to do what is right in Congress. Now, conservatives generally say the same things, and we have similar talking points, but what we need to do is elect leaders of character who will do what is right, uphold the United States Constitution, and not compromise. And that's what people are yearning for. They're so heartbroken with all the corruption and politicians who serve their own ends. I'm going to demonstrate to the delegates that I'm doing this as an act of service in a time of crisis, and that I'm going to do the right thing no matter what.
Now, I realize that Aurora is nowhere near the 7th Congressional District, but have you followed at all what has gone on over the last day or so with the chief of police being let go? And then it's a broader discussion, really, about public safety. Have you been following that?
I've been paying more attention to preparing my speech and focusing on the federal level issues. So I've seen some headlines about Aurora, but I haven't been paying much attention, honestly, George.
Now, when you look at who you're going to face, who Pete, I think, has called Heroin Barbie, I think she's running unopposed. Does she have her assembly this weekend, too?
I don't know when their assembly is. I know they're doing it over Zoom, and the Democrats have essentially cleared the field. She's endorsed by Bennett and Perlmutter, but we know she's as radical as it gets. And I think that what is so thrilling to me is we're going to stand in such sharp contradiction to her. She doesn't appeal to the constituents of District 7. We've just got to highlight all the issues we're on the right side of.
If you look at her website, it looks an awful lot like she's a single mom, because you just don't see her husband in any of those pictures. I don't know why that is, but she's going to tell a different story on the campaign trail than she has told through her conduct under the Gold Dome. One of the big issues right now plaguing Colorado is fentanyl. We lose more than 2 Coloradans a day to fentanyl overdoses. The legislature, her included, are dithering over how to address that. What can a congressman do to try to address this fentanyl crisis, not just here, but across America?
Well, first and foremost, we've got to secure the southern border. The fact that the matter is most of that fentanyl is Chinese fentanyl coming across a very porous border that's out of control. So we've got to secure that border. There's not a moment to lose. And then we've got to increase the penalties for fentanyl distribution. I mean, my Democrat opponent has worked to not only defund and undermine law enforcement, she has worked to reduce the restriction on fentanyl. Her and her husband started a clean injection site in Denver. This is not the way to address fentanyl. We need to make it harder to get, not easier. We need to increase the penalties for distributing fentanyl. We need to arm law enforcement so they can handle drug trafficking, not defund the police. So she's doing everything she can to undermine law enforcement, and that's not the answer.
Should increasing the penalties on fentanyl possession and distribution take place at the state level, the federal level, or both?
I think both at this point. You can criminalize it at the federal level and absolutely address it at the state level. But it is, in many respects, not only a matter of law enforcement, but there's a mental health issue at the root of it. I mean, we've got to treat drug addiction at the mental level and the root causes of it, not make it easier to get, especially not handing out free needles and paraphernalia. That's not the way to address, the disease of addiction.
Eric, one of the questions that has become, and really it's developed over a period of time here, as I've asked every candidate the same thing. I don't ever treat one better than the other in terms of the questions I ask, has been, and I've asked you about this as well, and that has been about the 2020 election. And it's moved really interestingly, and a caller kind of identified this, and I think it resonates with me, and that is it has really moved from whether or not it's as relevant today as it was back in 2020. It's really much more of a measure of, will somebody answer the damn question? And so the question I put to you in the past and others, and I'm going to ask you again here, is I get it. We're all invested in election integrity. I don't think our system is perfect. I think it has flaws. Those flaws need to be fixed. Got that. But was the 2020 election for president stolen? Does Eric Odlin think it was or think it was not?
I think that's the wrong word, George, and I'm not dodging the question.
Which word should I have used differently?
I think that it was negatively influenced through a lot of different mechanisms that made it grossly unfair. And so this is not a matter of President Trump. What this is a matter of ensuring that we have secure elections for the American people and that every legitimate vote counts and illegitimate votes do not. And so I know people are working very hard. I've talked to a lot of clerks and recorders who have looked at the front end of the Colorado process and said that the process on the front end is right, but that we have not sufficiently cleaned our voter rolls, that we send ballots in a massive scale to those who aren't currently registered to vote, and that there's a lot of problems within the back end of the system, including the audit trail. But we know that a lot of dark money flew into the elections. We know that Zuckerberg was deeply involved through the CTCL. And we know that there was a collusion of big tech and certain government agencies to censor conservative voices around this topic. And so there was a lot of the covering up of the Hunter Biden laptop, which is now provable, which would have influenced the outcome of the election. There was in a lot of states who'd never done mail-out ballots. There was a rush to do so without due legislative process, so it didn't go through their state legislatures. There were a lot of problems in the 2020 elections, but what I advise people is we must look forward. If we continue to recount 2020, it may undermine our success in 2022. We need to be focused to securing the elections in 2022 and beyond.
Well, that last sentence, I agree with 100%. And there's some other things that you said in there that resonate with me, too. I agree. The outsized influence of the social media folks who tend to be left of center, the skewing of the reporting and all this other stuff. And I agree with you. The 2016 stolen election thing was nonsense. I agree with you on all those things. But getting back to the question, was the 2020 outcome the product of fraud? And if it was in the election system, if it was, what was the fraud?
Well, there was fraud in the election. There's fraud in every election. Yeah, I think that's coming out more and more.
Enough to impact the outcome. You see where I'm going? I mean, I don't want to sound obscure on this, but the word choice matters. If it concerns you, I want to give you the appropriate wiggle room here. But at the end of the day, was the 2020 outcome, that election for President Trump, was it decided because of fraud? Did fraud make a difference in the outcome? For instance, if there hadn't been fraud, would President Trump have been reelected? That's the question.
Neither you nor me can say definitively that it was or it wasn't. That's the problem, George, with these questions. There's a lot of factors involved in this, and it's extremely complex.
What are those factors? And what concerns me is I will say definitively, I do not believe fraud impacted the outcome of the election. I agree with you. I think fraud occurs in every election. But I am convinced of that because it's a belief based on the fact that I have not seen any credible evidence to tell me otherwise. But you may have. So I'm leaving you that opportunity. Have you seen sufficient evidence to cause you to say, I doubt the outcome of the 2020 election?
I have seen enough to call into question the validity of the election, yes. To say definitively no, because it's, like I said, it is a very complex process.
I get it, but what's the evidence that you've seen? Like, give me an example. What have you seen that makes you think that the impact on the election is called into question, that you think it was the product of fraud? And we're getting close. And Eric, maybe your answer is, I think the outcome would have been different had there been no fraud. If you can say that, say that. But then I want to know, what is it that you've seen?
Well, we can look at the seven states in particular, the swing states that really influenced the outcome of the election, where ballots kept coming in. There are massive statistical anomalies throughout those seven states, and I'm referring to Pennsylvania and Georgia and Wisconsin, Arizona. A lot of that's coming out. And they rushed through a process unconstitutionally. They changed their voter laws through either the governor or the secretary of state's office without going through the state legislatures. Then they mailed out a significant amount of ballots without verifying their voter rolls. So that is fact. That's not questionable, George. It's provable and it's been proven. But the question is how much did it dictate? And so this hasn't been heard legitimately in a court of law. A lot of the courts dismissed it out of standing, not merit. And so it does call into question the validity.
But
I think that
what I don't want to do is to debate the merits of those things, which, by the way, have largely been.
What point are you trying to make? I'm curious because, you know, this is a hot button issue.
It is absolutely a hot button issue, Eric. The point I'm trying to make is, and this has been true of every person I've asked politics, I want an answer. And I'll give you an example. If I ask Ron Hanks today on the phone, was the election stolen? Dude doesn't hesitate. Absolutely it was stolen. Here are my reasons why. If I ask Joe O'Day, was the election stolen? He will say, absolutely not. I have concerns about this, that, and the other. Don't like the fact that there's a President Biden, but it was not stolen. Other people, not them, that I've had on the show, you included, want to have an answer that doesn't say yes or no. And so I'm trying to drill down on
right.
why
because,
is that?
Because this is because it's not a black and white issue, and because I don't have all the information. So what I'm going off of is a lot of scattered information that I try to assess myself as truthfully as possible. George, I want the truth. My integrity is more important to me than anything, and that's why I won't commit to a black and white answer. And I think somebody who does is potentially disingenuous. I have a lot of concerns, and we need to address those concerns so that people have confidence in their election, so they can have confidence in the people they elect. But it's not helpful to avoid the nuance, and we try to make this a black and white situation, and it's not. I can give you my own example with the Secretary of State. I can prove that legitimate signatures on my petitions were invalidated by that office, which could potentially deny me access to the ballot and affect the outcome of election. Was there fraud? I don't know. Was there bureaucratic incompetence? I don't know. I don't know what happened behind closed doors in the Secretary of State's office.
But what you are willing to commit to, Eric, is I know for a fact that the outcome that she's determined is wrong, and I'm willing to say it's wrong. Don't know why it's wrong, can't say it's fraud, can't say it's incompetence, but it is absolutely wrong. That is a difference.
That's right.
You're not saying, I don't know if my petition signatures were good. There's reason to think that they were. You're actually definitive on it. I know 100%.
Because I can prove it, because I'm involved in the process and I can prove it. In so many of the election instances across this country and in Colorado, I'm not behind those closed doors. I am pulling information from the media and from other sources and trying to make my best guess. I'm certain there was fraud in the 2020 elections. I have a sense that it influenced the outcome. Can I say definitively? No,
but I'm only asking you what you believe. I'm not asking you for can you prove a fact. I we could have that. I don't care about that. I'm just asking what does Eric Odlin believe? Just like I asked Deb Flores, just like I asked Heidi Ganahl. What do you believe? What do you believe?
But I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem in these conversations because we should be able to say this is what I've seen, but I don't know. And any politician who says they know the answer on this, I think is a bit disingenuous. Yes, I think that fraud played a role in the outcome of the 2020 elections, but I can't prove it. So I'm very careful to make a declarative statement that I can't prove myself. And I think we need to be much more careful.
But you just did it, Eric, and I appreciate it. You just did. You said, I think fraud played a role in the outcome of the election. That's all that I think anyone's looking for is what do you believe? And you're saying, hey, I don't know if I can prove it. I get it. But you've said definitively here, I believe fraud played a role in changing the outcome of the 2020 election. Right.
But
so
it's
you
a
did
perception,
it.
Perception, George. And so it's something we need to be careful about. And I think that it's, you know, if you want conservative candidates to be successful, we need to have a more nuanced conversation. And I don't understand.
What does that
why
mean?
We're so,
what does that mean? That if we want them to be successful, we have to have a nuanced conversation. What does that mean?
We should be focused on all the issues right now that are affecting everyday Coloradans. We should be bringing solutions to things like skyrocketing inflation or the loss of our energy independence or the destruction of our security on the southern border or the disaster in Afghanistan or the Russia-Ukraine situation. I could go on and on and on.
You have. We've problems. Talked about that, buddy. You've been on this show multiple times. You've talked about all those things. The one thing, though, that separates your answers on those things from this are that you have answers for those things, definitive things, based on your belief,
because
based on
experience,
based on the information that you have available to you. And what you've said here today, and I respect this and appreciate this, man. What you've said here today is the first time you've said that. I believe the outcome of the 2020 election was impacted by fraud. Now, you've never said that before. That is a huge thing, and I appreciate you doing it.
Well, and it's not just fraud. It's all the other things I listed previously in the conversation. There was a full-on attack. But at the end of the day, what are we going to do about it? That's my chief concern, George, is not continuing to belabor what happened. Yes, we need to identify those issues within our election system that are potentially compromised. But I'm forward-looking. I don't want to keep fighting the 2020 battle. I want to know what are we going to do to secure 2022 and 2024 and assure our constituents that the elections are free, secure, and fair. That is our charge. That's what I'm doing.
I agree with
that. Fix things.
Look, I agree with that. But what the purpose for that question, I've asked everybody, is I think folks want to hear a damn answer. They want to hear what you think. It's less important to me that I agree with your answer than I hear an answer. And so the only other thing that concerns me, man, is when you say things like, hey, we need to allow room for more nuanced answers if we're going to have six. I don't understand that. I don't think there needs to be nuance in an answer about something that you believe
because,
about this thing.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
This belief, because certain people categorize candidates or politicians based on incomplete information, and it is a nuanced conversation. I don't know all the facts. I'm not an expert. I'm not a clerk and recorder.
Did you doubt the 2016 election? Did you doubt the outcome when President Trump was elected? Did you doubt it because you also didn't have all the facts?
Well, that's a great question, George. I honestly hadn't thought about it at the time, other than I knew that it was a politicized, there was a witch hunt that came with this impeachment based on false pretext. We know that that's proven now. The Russian collusion thing was a hoax.
It was a hoax.
So,
yep.
Yeah, it was a hoax. It's provable. There have been political witch hunts in this country. I'm not about that. I want the facts. I want the truth. And there's been a lot of efforts to discourage conversations around the integrity of our elections, and that's deeply concerning. We should be able to have a nuanced conversation with all the facts presented and then make a decision based on truth, not belief. I don't like making statements unless I know the facts. I can make statements on oil and gas or my service in the military and all my other experiences. But I am.
Listen, I get that, Eric, but my sense is you are completely comfortable making decisions and expressing your belief on things with the facts that you have, right? And you're never going to know all the facts. You know this as an Army officer. You make decisions and move men forward into precarious situations on admittedly less than perfect and complete information. And my guess is you do that on a whole bunch of these other issues. You can't know everything. And so
am I in a position to do anything about the 2020 elections? No. Am I in a position, if elected to Congress, to resist the federalization of elections?
I hope so. I agree with you on that.
I'm able to make decisions, but right now I'm a candidate running for office. I'm not in a position of influence. I need to win in order to make decisions, and then I'll have even greater information to make those decisions. It's not comparable to making a decision in combat, where you've got to often react on instinct. You know that. And
I
have done that in real combat. I mean, my Bronze Star is one for V.
There's no question. You've had to make decisions in life or death situations that maybe nobody else running in any of the elections in Colorado has had to do. And I think that's undeniable. I just think this is a different question. And what I do appreciate, Eric, is you're willing to sit here and continue to have this conversation with me on that. Even though people are going to hear different things out of your answers, what I think I heard is that for the first time you've said, I think the outcome of the 2020 election was impacted by fraud. That's not because that's going to be the thing that you serve on or run on, but it's because you answered the damn question, man. And I really appreciate that. And we'll have you back on, by the way, next week. I presume you're going to make the ballot, but I'd love to hear how the assembly goes tomorrow. Good luck tomorrow. Anything else that folks can do? Where can they find out more about you on all the other issues?
Take a look at my website. It's Aadland for Colorado, AADLANDFOR, Colorado.com. All the gaps we haven't been able to fill in on my positions, and a lot of radio shows like yours, George, are on there. A lot of great videos. I hope people will focus on how I'm going to bring positive change to Colorado and serve this constituency and always do my best to honor and serve the truth.
Buddy, I really do appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow, man. We need more veterans in Congress. That's what I'll say.
Thanks, George. I look forward to being back next week after I win at the assembly.
And good luck with the Secretary of State's office, too. I'd love to see what happens with the court case thing, because if there's shenanigans going on up there, whether it's the product of malfeasance or misfeasance, I think that's important for voters to know, too, because they're going to get to decide who the next Secretary of State is. Listen, we're going to come back. We've gone along a little bit here with Eric. We're going to pay some bills, do a little bit of commercials. We'll come back. Phone lines are jammed, and we'll continue to take your calls at 303-696-1971. Until that time, George Brockler on 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here at 710 KNUS. Before we get to the red hot phone lines here at 303-696-1971, I want to tell you again, as I always do, about our friends at Littleton Jewelry. Great sponsors to the show. In fact, maybe our first big sponsor of the show way back when. Whether it's watch repair, jewelry repair, custom jewelry, buying or selling gold, silver, these folks do it all. Jesse and his team, homegrown folks, all of them here from the local area. I still need to hook up with that custom jeweler, though. That's the one person I have yet to meet. This business is a small business, which I love, because that is the backbone of the economy. It is a local business, which I love. No offense to the big box stores, love them too, but these folks are us. They are Coloradans who started their business here and keep it going. Jesse took it over from his folks a while ago and has really taken it to the next level. It had been just watch repair. Well, they still do that, but they do so much more. We trust these folks. I trust these folks. You ought to as well. You ought to go into their showroom there, their store. It is right south of Hudson Gardens, and you just turn right after you pass Hudson Gardens. When you're southbound, right afterwards, go right in there. You'll see them right to your right-hand side when you get into the parking lot. Or if you're going northbound from like 470 or something, you just hang a nice, legal, and safe U-turn right there in front of Hudson Gardens, and you take your right and you go in there. If Jesse's not in there, ask to talk with any of those folks. They'll treat you like family. They'll remember you. They'll remember the project they're working on for you. And frankly, when these things come into them, they treat them like they have sentimental value, not just monetary value. And that's what makes them so great. Littleton Jewelry is located on Santa Fe, just south of Hudson Gardens. Look for the jewelry repair sign. Visit littletonfinejewelry.com. That's littletonfinejewelry.com. Going right back to the phone lines. Jim, you're on 710 KNUS. Jim, what do you think?
Hey, good morning. I think it's inappropriate for anyone that's in the military or a veteran to use the word nuance in a sentence, let alone have it in their vocabulary.
Why do you say that?
I say that because there is cause and effect. And right now, people are still debating what happened a year and a half ago. Now, Donald Trump caused Joe Biden. The military members are out there to defend our nation's right to get off the couch if they want to and go vote for a new president. And that's exactly what happened. It happened in mass. The city people got up during a pandemic and voted someone out that wasn't a normal politician. It happened after George Bush and we got Obama, and it was very clear back then what happened. And I think these people are just playing to the donations, and that's why they can't come up with an actual answer. We've seen their answers evolve over the last year a little bit. In the next year, they'll come out and they'll give us a different answer. But they're playing for donations at this point. That's my belief.
Now, is it fair to ask this question? And I ask it in this context.
Certainly.
Eric says, and I totally get this, I don't want to live in the rearview mirror. I am not running to fix whatever went wrong in 2020. I'm running for the future and protect. I get all that stuff. Is it a fair question to ask? And for me, I'm asking it because I want to know, is this a person who will give me what they think? Are they going to tell me what they believe? And for some, it's an easy question to answer. For some,
yeah,
they don't. I don't know. Is it fair to ask?
On the setting, if he's out in a pole barn in Weld County, he will give an answer that is clear to those people he's playing to. If he's in a center, in an arena in Denver, then he will give a slightly different answer. They are playing for donations. That's how politics works.
Yeah, Jim, I don't want to believe that about Eric, and I don't, but I get the fact. What's concerning to me is that you think that about him. I don't, but I think other folks out there that hear those answers are going to draw similar conclusions. Not just about, this isn't just about Eric Odlin, by the way. This is about a whole bunch of candidates that have been on here that continue to dodge us. And that is, are people coming away from this feeling like, I'm not hearing an authentic person, I'm hearing a politician who's pandering?
Well, unfortunately, we all hear what we want to hear.
Well, there's that too.
People tune into this radio station because there has been an epicenter in Denver of Trump supporters. And that is cracking because the Trump base could not come up with physical evidence in court in a year and a half.
Well, and maybe there's – Jim, by the way, thank you for getting us started on this topic. Jim's line is open at 303-696-1971. Maybe there's some future court case where this will come out. And I have said this from the beginning. I do not believe that the outcome would have changed, but for fraud. I don't think fraud changed the outcome. But I'm a prosecutor. I'm an evidence-based dude, right? So I'm not going to presume that the system failed when I know there have been these jillions of audits, all these other. But I'm open to the idea that, man, if someone were to come forward and have evidence and say, look, this is definitive, and I believed it, damn right I changed my mind. But I'm not going to sit on the fence and say, boy, it's a tough one. I'm not really. I don't feel that way, okay? I want to know what other politicians seeking my vote think about this. Let's go right to Jason. Jason, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, Jason?
Well, it's very interesting because I was going to bring up the point prior to having your last guest on, the candidate. I can't remember his last name exactly how to say it, but in your intro, you have the line from A Few Good Men. That's the "you can't handle the truth"
right.
famous
right.
line.
That's true. That's
but,
in there, yeah.
But to me, there's been another extremely famous line from that movie that I've used in my own practice, you know, on both sides of the aisle, which is, you and Dawson keep living in the same dream world. You keep asking me what I believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. It matters what I can prove. Don't tell me about the law. I know the law. Okay.
Yeah,
and
that's good. That's Tom Cruise. You're right. That was good.
There are some personalities of people, okay, who do make decisions based on more instinct and maybe do make decisions more on gut feel than analytics. But there's also got to be room for people to exist on this planet who I honestly think if I was asked the same question as your previous guest who's running, I would give the same exact answer. And it's not a dodge. If anything, his answer, I thought, was the most nuanced, and I don't have any problem with that word nuance at all. I think that politicians should use more of it in making decisions. But the idea that you can't say, I don't know, but at the end of the day, you know, you could say, I know it wasn't the case in Colorado. And I think what his really good point was is that, for example, I can come out and say that there are shenanigans going on with this ballot that I was involved in because I know that it, you know what I mean? That's the core of my belief.
Sure, but I didn't ask him what he knows. I asked him what he believed. And I'm asking you, what do you
believe? Things based on what they go through by way of the analytical process. Like what, like you just said a second ago that if somebody presented you evidence, what you believed would change theoretically.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Sure.
Okay.
That's true of everything, right? That's true of everything. But I have a belief right now, based on the evidence available to me, I have the stones to tell you what I believe.
Yeah, but what if you don't have a belief because you don't formulate beliefs that way? Like, what if you don't formulate, like, for example,
but what that tells me, man, is you are skeptical of the outcome of the election based on something you've seen. You doubt the outcome of the election. That is that's skepticism, right? You doubt it. Well, come on and say that. Yeah, I doubt that the outcome was legitimate. That's not what these folks say. They don't say, I doubt the outcome.
That's what he said.
Ultimately, 15 minutes in, he did. Sure, after I pulled at him. But was that his first answer? No. He wanted to broaden it and talk about Zuckerberg and social media. It's like, no man, get down to it, buddy.
Way better than the other lady that you had on earlier today who just did a dip, dodge, dive, duck. You know what I mean? Like with the 5Ds of dodgeball. I mean, his was at least, I thought, extremely cogent and did hit a lot of really intense issues about not only the, you know, nuance, if you will, which I don't understand why that's a bad word. But not only that, but it's like, what if I was running right now for anything, what am I going to do about it? Right. Other than potentially myself labeled.
Listen,
that's
not the issue for me. That's not the issue for me. But I want to know where someone stands on these things, where there is a universe of knowable information that we have, right? There is information out there. And to simply say, until I get something more, I don't know what the hell that something is, I simply cannot take a position on this. Well, guess what? That is permission to be palsied on every other decision out there, because you and I ain't ever going to have perfect information. You're always going to have to make a decision, a belief, if you will, based on the information that's available. And so what I need to hear from someone, this is me, maybe everyone else out there, maybe you disagree. What I need to hear is, based on the information you have in front of you, what do you believe? We can always debate what that information is, but I simply cannot believe 2 years removed from that process that we're going to accept from anybody, geez, I don't have a belief because I don't have perfect information. That feels like a political answer, not like an authentic human being answer.
Well, and like I said, maybe it's a personality thing because I'm not running for anything. And I go back and forth on what I think.
Jason, if I ask you, do you believe that the election outcome was dictated by fraud?
I don't know.
Man, but that's an answer in and of itself, man. And I really appreciate the candor, Jason. I love phone calls like that. Listen, we're running short on time. Jason, I'm going to try to get to you right after this break if you hang on, but we got to cut away. This is George Brockler here on 710 KNUS. I'm not sure if that bumper music portends the future for someone on the ballot or not, but George Brockler here at 710 KNUS. Listen, April 7th is a big day. It is World Health Day today. 800 million. That's the number of people who spent a good portion of their household budget on health care in 2017. And this is advice from the World Health Organization. Listen to your body. Make sure you're getting enough physical activity, sleep. I need that. Taking daily vitamins, drinking water, eating healthy. And so that brings me to our friends at C60 Complete. It's actually Pure Bella Vita who produced this product, C60 Complete Daily Supplement, which I have been taking. Got to take mine later today. It is a revolutionary supplement that's proven to help reduce stress as well as contribute to anti-aging and reduce inflammation while improving brain health. It's extremely safe and is scientist-formulated and doctor-approved using only organic oil. C60 Complete is the only supplement patented using black seed oil and curcumin. Look that up, C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N. Take a look and see what the benefits are. I did. That supports your ability to detox and help cellular recovery. There's also a pet line. Can you believe that? Dogs, cats, horses. You know what? Try this thing out and let's have a conversation about it when you get some results there. To get your first month's supply for you and your furry friend today, go to Pure Bella Vita. There's two L's in that. Pure Bella Vita, VITA.com. That's purebellavita.com. In the remaining moment that we have, I think we can grab up one phone call here. Jay, I can give you about 45 seconds, my friend. Go.
Dude, 45. All right.
So sorry, man.
Here's the deal. That's all right, man. It is what it is, man. I appreciate the show. Listen, yes, definitively, I believe the election was stolen. 100%. Anybody who actually used their eyes watching election night, right? So I want somebody to name me one election where all seven swing states stopped counting their friggin' votes so they could wait 3 days to release votes counts while they kicked out people who were mediators, people who were independents, and people who were conservatives out of the counting room. People, use your brain. If you can't actually say, if the answer to the question is, I don't know if it was stolen. What the hell, man? This is America.
But Jay, bring up a good point, and that is, and you and I will disagree on this, but you at least know where I stand, right? Like, there's no doubt.
I do, and you know where I stand.
That's exactly right. So it sounds like even though we're on different sides of this issue in terms of what we think happened, what you need to hear from a candidate is a damn answer.
You got that right. At least have an answer for it. Not this. No offense. Eric seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Great guy.
His military service. My son's in the military. When I hear the word nuanced, here's what I hear. I hear, I'm going to move with, whatever everybody comes together with as an idea, instead of, I need the guy in the room who actually is the 13th man who says, no, until I know. Right? That's it. I don't want everybody agreeing just to get along because what that's gotten us in the last 40 years?
Yeah, buddy, I get it.
Think about it. Think about it, Republicans. Think about it, Democrats. Democrats, no. Okay. What it means for a Republican is we've moved left of center for 40 freaking years. The center is now changed. Center is not center anymore, people. Stop even using that word. Center now starts in left field, period. And now they're trying to move it farther and farther left. Get some cojones.
Jay,
we like people who stand for what they believe in and say it.
Buddy, great call to finish up with. Great line. And that's from a guy who doesn't agree with me on this position. Listen, we're going to have more of you and me and Billy and the news and all that good stuff tomorrow. Maybe even some more candidates, I hope, to help us make good decisions here on Saturday and moving forward. Thank you. Tune in next time. George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.